I want to talk to you about the last days. And 2 Timothy 3:1, I want you to get that, if you would. I want to make sure we get the message this morning. 2 Timothy 3:1, I want to know, let's see, okay. Do you have a phone back there, Kathy? You have a phone back there? I can transfer my notes to you? Okay, all right, great. All right, I'm reading the King James Version, 2 Timothy 3:1. It says here, know also that in the last days, everybody say the last days, perilous times shall come. That's from the Holy Spirit. This is not just Paul writing, but the Holy Spirit. We believe the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We believe that God himself, by his Holy Spirit, spoke this through the Apostle Paul. And he's telling this young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy was a protege. Timothy, he came up under Paul, and Paul found him along the way in his missionary journey as he was traveling. Over in Acts 16, he met a young man by the name of Paul, Timothy. And he was a devout man. He was a man that people had a good reputation. And Paul took him in and began to train him. And now he's a pastor. He's a young pastor, a young man of God. And he begins to write these letters to him, trying to encourage him. He says, many, many years ago, this is years and years ago, he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. By the Holy Spirit, I want you to understand something here, that in God's time, we can't say God's time because there's no time, there's no such thing in God. Time is not something God is, how would you say this? Time is only in our realm. And God could, for him, like he's, you know, it's hard for understand this, that in God, there's no such thing as when God started and when God ended. When was God born? It's hard for you to understand that there's no such thing as God has a beginning or has an end. See, your concept of your mind doesn't understand this because God is huge. And you can't understand God with your finite mind. You understand this? You're a created being. And when you start understanding, reading the Bible, you begin to understand these things more clearly. But I just thought I'd throw that in because I'm not going to charge you anything for that. This extra. Amen. So we went to the conference. You know, I was praying before I went, asked God, you know, talking to the Lord about what I would like God for me to do, what I want. You know, of course, God's always leading you. In fact, he leads you how to pray even. And I was asking God about some things, about what I wanted to get out of this conference. And, you know, I go because, first of all, pastor told us to come regularly, so we've gone. We've obeyed that. We believe that we should, and we've done it all those years. And we're trying to raise up a young generation. And so my wife and I, when we decided to find, we were praying, we said, God, send somebody who's just as eager as us, who's hungry for God, who has the tools and skills that we don't have, but that has the hunger for God. And God brought the staff to us that are here. We have Pastor Ken and Cindy and the Hussies. God brought them here, and we're all Rhema. We're Rhema graduates. We grew up under Brother Hagin. We have that same anointing. We have that same, spirit, the same faith. And we're doing here what they're doing in Tulsa. And we want to get things going in a better way. I believe there's more people that are coming to this church. We're not going to wait for things to happen. We're going to step forward. We have plans, and last week I called someone that I knew personally that an architect. We're drawing up another second auditorium down the hallway on this side to fit a 1,000-seat auditorium to build, and we're believing God that we're going to fill it. Rooms, more rooms for Bible school and a women's center. We're going to do stuff. We're not going to just sit around and wait for things to happen. Amen. So you have to do things. You have to stand out. And people say, well, you can't do that. You know, you don't have to wait for anything. You don't have to wait for people to come. You don't have to wait for money to come in. You don't have to wait for somebody to tap you on the back or call you out or pray for you. You have to obey God and begin to step out in faith and believe that He's going to be there to catch you. And anybody who knows the Lord, He's all for you when you want to do something for Him in His ministry. So Paul here is talking to, somehow I'm frozen. I think, what's going on here? The Lord's changing my message. Praise God. Oh, there it goes. Okay, so we're okay. We're okay. The Lord came back. So we go back every year to get refreshed, to get recharged, to receive direction from God, you know, to sit under that anointing, to sit there and receive direction from God, to be instructed. You know, you can receive teaching, but you also need instruction. You need to be taught and instructed and told some things. And so we believe we were corrected and different things, and God starts helping you with that, you know, when you sit under something that is so powerful. So God gave me direction for my own life and ministry, and I felt refreshed in that. And not only that, but to enjoy fellowship with like-minded people, to enjoy the presence of God together and to join with other brothers and sisters who have the same aspirations as you. Now, the church there is like, I think they have 8,000 people in church, not in one service, but, you know, I think it's growing. It's a mega church. It's actually a mega church. But it's a worldwide ministry that goes all over the world, touching many, many people. And you can get overwhelmed. But I don't feel overwhelmed there, but you can. And God brought me there. When we went there, the Lord says, you stay there. Because a lot of our other students, they went to different churches in Tulsa. The Lord said, no, you stay there. I brought you there. Sit under the ministry. I want you to learn some things. But Timothy here, 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul tells them that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The Amplified Classical Edition says this: but understand this, that in the last days will come, or set in, perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. As you can see, we're living in a time when these are happening, and we're living in a stressful time. And you need to be grounded in the Word of God so that nothing takes you by surprise. Nothing should shake you. Nothing should make you afraid. Although fear is there, when you have God on your side, when you're planted in the Word of God, you're planted and you're strong. Nothing's going to shake you. But how many people know this is the Word of God? It says last days, perilous times will come. You know, people looking for it's going to be greater days. Listen, it's going to get worse as time goes on. You know, you think it's bad now, but it's going to be harder, even harder. You know, there's going to be legislation even against the church for preaching. Now they're trying to stop us from preaching to people, you know, about changing their lives. And there's legislation, people out there. I've talked to people who work in the government that are in ministry. They work in the government too. And they're changed in the back rooms. They're changing. They're trying to change things so that they can come against somehow, you know, handcuff the church from doing its work. But, you know, God says, you know, when that happens, there's going to be even stronger, something stronger happening. You know, so here's the Common English Bible says, understand that in the last days, dangerous times shall come. Dangerous times. How many people know we're living in dangerous times? You know, you can't, people are afraid to go certain parts of town. There's danger everywhere. They're scared to walk around at night. Sometimes I walk around at night here, and you meet a crowd of people. You know, they say, hey, there's, you know, you got to watch sometimes. They'll kind of push you around. Plus, first, you know, being First Nations, you know, people don't know I'm a pastor. They just, they act a certain way. They don't care if you're a minister or not. They push you around, tell you all kinds of stuff. But I know the Lord's there with me. Amen? Praise God. You know, like people don't understand these kind of things. If you never had that experience in your life, you know, if you're a First Nation, you got people of color, things happen to you that you may never experience. You might not even know about it because you have a different privilege than we do because we have a different kind of color skin. You know, people don't understand that even in church, you know, people don't, they think it's sometimes even a joke sometimes, but things can happen. But, you know, for me, the Lord, I've had really good relationship with the people in the city, no matter who they are, and just because of the work of God that I've done in this city, I've got that kind of rapport with people. So thank God for that, amen? Now, if I was drinking out there and doing drugs and stuff, it'd be a different story. The English translation, New English translation says, difficult times will come. The God's Word translation says, violent times will come. These are all from Scripture. Let me read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5 in the Message Bible. Let's go to the Message Bible. It says, don't be naive. How many of you are naive? Let me see your hand. Don't lift your hand up. Okay. It says here, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. Now, this is the Holy Spirit speaking. So you need to be grounded in the Word of God. Stand strong. Get the Word of God in you so that nothing will shake you. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed. How many people know that's happened right now? Self-absorbed. Money hungry. How many would admit they're money hungry in here? Nobody will. Self-promoting. Self-promoting. Look how many selfies I can put up. Self-promoting. Stuck up. Profane. Contemptuous of parents. You know, there's a spirit in the world. If your kids are out there, they can catch that spirit from school, from other kids, from watching sitcoms and watching different programs. They can catch that spirit. They don't pay attention to their parents. And of course, you know, you go through phases. Kids go through phases. Your friends are more important than your mom. You're more important than your dad. Thank God that this man over here, young man, he's saved. You know, he has respect for his mom. And I know AJ, same thing, respects his mom. I don't know if he does still, but I think he does. So there's these things happening. Crude. What's the meaning of crude? Huh? Okay. Find out. Google it. Why not? Yeah, abrasive. Coarse. Dog eat. Dog. That sounds really bad. Dog eat dog. I mean, the dogs are eating each other up. That's pretty bad. Unbending. There's some people that just not, you know, how many of you are not flexible around here? You don't do it. You know, you just want to do what you want to do. Unbending. Some people are so inflexible, they crack up, right? Slanderers. How much that's going on in Facebook? People talking each other down. All the Boston Bruins fans fighting against the Leafs. Just because they're down, they start beating them even more. Huh? We don't mention any Habs fans either. But this guy, you abandoned the Habs. No, you're not. Eh? Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags. How many of those in here? Bloated windbags. This is the Oh, bloated like a toad frog. Addicted to lust. I mean, there's a lot of that. You see, lots of people, all they want to do is be entertained all the time. Oh, I'm getting entertained. Where am I going to go next? Where am I going to go? People tell me all the time, Roma, do you travel? And they ask me, do you go to all these countries? I'm not interested in those hot countries. I could go. I could go anytime. I could go tomorrow if I want to. I have the means to do it. I don't want to do that. That's not where I want to put my money in. My money, if I took your money and put it beside my money, let's see where you put your money. Like, we have to see, like, you know, the people say, this is how they say it, put your money where your what? Where your mouth is. Some people say, well, if you look at your monthly bill, like what is it called, the budget, and see where all your money is going, that's where your heart is. Right? That's where your heart is. Wherever you put your money, that's where your heart is. And it, you can tell, Jesus talked about it in the Bible. Wherever your treasure is, or wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. What you love most, that's what you spend most of your time on, more of your efforts on in that. And so that's a good, pretty good indication about that. So they say here, addicted to lust of all kinds, allergic to God. Wow. Got an allergy to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. 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 Stay clear of these people. You might have to steer clear of everybody these days. You know, these are, I mean, the Holy Spirit is talking. This is the Message Bible telling you plainly about different things. So, we're going to go through difficult times in these last days. Now, this is the Holy Spirit speaking. This is not somebody just writing something up. Holy Spirit is talking this way. I want to tell you something, show you something here. In the end, it's going to look, the end times, it looks that way right now. We're in the end times. Right now, we're in the end times. The days, of course, are you know, harder. People say, well, if you're cynical about it, take a good look. If you haven't really looked at it. These are the last days. You know, they say that there's people who rise up, they talk about, give dates, you know, God, when Jesus is coming back and when the end of the world is. Well, don't believe those people ever. And because nobody knows when Jesus is coming back and when the end of the world really is going to happen. But Jesus is coming back. There is a rapture and Jesus will come back and there will be an end at some point. And notice over here in book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 68, and the apostles were talking to Jesus about certain seasons, about they wanted Israel to be restored because they were under hostage to the Roman Empire. And so they wanted to be restored back to a kingdom like they were before. And this has impact on us. Acts chapter 1:68. As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Jesus replied, it isn't for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the end of the world. Now, there's something about this that we need to understand, that we need to teach more about the Holy Spirit and His activity. I mentioned here about 2 weeks ago or more and several times, I said, I've never seen more demonic activity ever in my life as a minister. And Brother Pastor Hagin was talking about more demon activity than he's ever seen. All the evil that's going on in our city, all the evil that's going on, that's demonic activity. All the drug addiction, all the violence, all the rapes, all the missing women that's gone, all the poverty, that's all demonic activity. In fact, I've gone to people who told me that their wives or girlfriends are possessed by devils. And as I talk to them on the phone, I can hear someone else speaking out of that person. Not just one time, not just two times, but this is happening right now. Why do I get to hear it? Because I'm a minister. People call me because they know I can do something for them. But most of the time, I can't do anything for them because they want to stay that way. They want to stay in that area. And some of the demonic activity is more hidden because it comes in a form of religion and spirituality. How many people know not all spiritual activity is God? And so, you know, I've had people tell me different things, you know, that I hung around with. They had different experiences in different kind of, settings, spiritual settings. And they've heard, they have had encountered with different things, spirits. It's nothing more than demonic activity. But you can't tell them that. They won't believe you. And so, and, you know, some demonic activity is sophisticated, is hidden under something spiritual. Are you here? Because this is happening, and more, Jesus said, it's not for you to know about this, but you're going to have to know about the Holy Spirit and what He's going to do, how He's going to lead you. So, His disciples asked Him this question about a certain season. And I want you to know from this verse of Scripture that Jesus said, it's not for you to know some things, specific seasons or different timetables, but you should concentrate on what you should be concentrating on most. And that is following the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was saying. Get to know the Holy Spirit in these last days. Now listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, King James Version says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Now, we're talking about timetable. When is Jesus coming back? When is the rapture happening? When is going to be the end of the world? He's saying, you know, hey, these are going to happen. Don't be concerned about it. And plan on, for instance, you know, when we got born again, when I got born again, some of the older people say, "Well, Jesus is coming like real soon. Get ready, pack up." And they say to me, "Don't go to school, don't get a job, don't get a career, because He's coming anyway." So we all got ready, and so we try to you know, get ready, packed up, sort of thing, you know. And a lot of our Pentecostal buddies would always say things like, "You know, Jesus, we're just hoping Jesus will show up any day because it's getting tough around here." Hey, kind of escapist attitude. We hope He shows up. Come on, you know. No, listen, we got some work to do, guys. We can't just be goofing up like that. 2 Peter, the common English Bible of that verse of Scripture, said, don't let escape your notice, dear friends, that with the Lord, a single day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a single day. It means, what He's saying here is that as far as time is concerned, for God, it doesn't really matter. Because like 1,000 years is like one day for the Lord. And yet here we are waiting around. God could say the time is near and we're waiting around. But God can come anytime, but He can come anytime. Jesus said He can come anytime. The Lord can show up anytime. And so we have to be ready. Somebody said you have to live like it's your last day on earth. And plan like God is never, He's not ever going to come back. And live like He's ever come. Live your life like that. So that you're going to be ready. You're going to be ready. So, in Psalm 90 verse 4, it says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are yet but yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night." The common English said that because of your perspective, 1,000 years like yesterday passed, like a short period during the night watch. Like, you know, God is awesome. You know, we live in time. God doesn't live in time. And Pastor Hagin had a vision, and he told us about it last year when he said, I'm there preaching, and all of a sudden I'm in this vision, and I see Jesus telling me I'm coming back soon. And he said, he's opening something, and he said the time period was so short that He's coming really soon. You know, I don't know. When you get older, you get to see visions. When you're younger, you don't see that many visions, because you know your time is short too. Though, we're all getting older, You notice that, Pastor Ken? You got more gray hair?
Praise God.
And praise God, yeah? Everybody's getting older, right? So there's a difference between last days and the end of the world. There's a difference. We're living in the last days, but the end of the world, the actual end of the world, that's an event. But we're in the last days right now. There are two different events that people get mistake of. They get mistake with the rapture, or what they call the catching away, when all the saints are sucked up into the air. That thing, or the second coming of Jesus. There's a difference between the second coming and when Jesus comes back. There's totally different events. So if you want, you can apply it to Bible school out there. We'll show you a little bit more. Get more Bible school students that way. In Matthew 24, in verse 4 or verse 3, as he sat down upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and at the end of the world?" They're asking Jesus some questions, some heavy-duty questions that you and I have right now. Like some people, they totally ignore this, that this is never going to happen. This is going to happen, or you'll have your end of the world anyway. You'll probably die, or many people will die, but there'll be no such thing as, you know, at that time. They won't experience that, because Jesus said there's some people standing here today are going to experience that. They're not going to die. They'll be caught up in the air. No. So verse 4 says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Verse 6 says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Verse 36 and 39, "But of that day and hour, no man know, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Only God knows the exact time he's coming back. Verse 37, notice this, "But as the days of Noah were," if you understand the days of Noah, understand this, "so shall be the coming of the Son of Man." You know, in the days of Noah, it was just so much wickedness happening. So much depravity. All kinds of things. You read about Noah and the immorality that's going on, wickedness going on. That's happening right now. Verse 39, "They knew not until the floods came and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man." Some people are going to be doing all these kind of things. They don't even care about it, but Jesus is going to come. Verse 44, "Therefore be also ready." Be ready for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. Verse 50, "The Lord of that servant shall come in that day, and he looked not for him in that hour that he's not aware of." So we see here, time periods and all that kind of stuff. You know, we have to live like Jesus is coming tomorrow, but prepare like he's never going to come for a long time. Keep doing the things you're supposed to do, because you never know. That's the message he's trying to say. That's what he's trying to say. There's an urgency by the Spirit that we should live for God. Some people have given up about this whole idea. They're saying what they said back then today. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 5 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall be in the last days a walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming?" People are saying that right now. "For since their fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." You see, some people are getting impatient in church. They're trying to push the timetable. They want God. They want to twist God's arm when he should do it. You know, there's people that need to know about the scripture, about Jesus. They need to know about the being saved. So some people have given up regarding the coming of the Lord. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 15 says, "Looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself up that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke all with all authority. Let no man despise you. Paul is telling Timothy that, listen, I'm the only one in your life that can actually challenge you and say things to you. I have authority from God to speak to you about cleaning up your life. But your wife has some of that authority, and she can't speak to you like that, like I can. I have authority to rebuke you. In the scriptures, you read the letter to the pastors, to press you, to help you, wake you up, so you start living right. And that's what it's supposed to be. That's my job. That's the anointing I carry, is to make sure that I'm challenging you to live right, to pick up yourself up and to start serving God and do things for his glory, not for yourself, like they say. People are just living for themselves. When's the next movie happening? What's on Netflix? What kind of movie can I listen to that I can spend my time with and that I could pay, whatever? We have so much self-absorption of what we're going to do with our time. And when you ask people for time, they go, no, I don't have no time. And they don't want to give. They don't want to give anything. But they can buy a carton of smokes. They get, no problem, but go to reserve, gas up, and I see people grabbing cartons of cigarettes, walking to their car like this. But you say, are you going to give something to God? No, I've got no money. You can sit in a bingo all day long in the morning and at night too, but smoke-filled room, some places used to be like that, and sit there all day long dabbing, but you can't come to church one time a week. There's something wrong. Right? Not giving any money to God. Not if it works, you can buy a nice car, but never give God a cent. There's something wrong. Right? We need to give God our best. Right? If it wasn't for tithers, this church would not exist. Would not. Because people would just give pennies. You can't buy anything with pennies. It takes money to run a business. And church is a business in per se, because you need to have sense to run churches. Thank God for that. These are the last days, folks. And I know you talked about this, guys. 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. The devil is working overtime to put people in fear with sickness, disease, lack. People say, if you give, you're not going to have anything. Listen to me. If you're on mother's allowance, if you're on OW, you can give money. You can give 10%. Whether you have a lot of money or you have nothing, you should give. When I was going to school, I remember I was getting so much money a month. I would make sure I got that 10%. I bring it to church with some enthusiasm. And I set aside $5 a week to give into the offering. And I never lacked. Never lacked. I mean, I didn't, listen to me. Listen to this. Just giving offerings on Sunday morning is not enough. That's not how it is. You have to live right. You have to expect God to do something for you. Expect him to do something. When you've done something, God said do something, expect him that he's going to pay you back. Don't just give something. Expect God. You must plant to say, thank God. He's paying up my bills. Thank God. I'll never run out. Never fear. I'm talking to a lot of people in this place today, because you need to start listening to God. Ernie, stop that. I like Ernie. We talk about chicken most of the time, but why is this? Because there's many people that are living in fear right now. They're living in fear. They're scared they're going to die. Some people are afraid they're going to end up in a mental ward. Some people are afraid they're going to have dementia. Some people are afraid they're going to have cancer. They're going to have heart disease. They're afraid. They're afraid of people. They're afraid of people. What if I do this and people say this? They're afraid of people. They're afraid of doing something. What if people see me in that church? What are they going to say? Well, people see me every day on TV. I'm everywhere. People see who I am. And so a lot of times they're happy. At least people are not against me. They don't say things, I hate you. They don't say, I hate you. Most people say, you know, oh, you're doing a great job. And probably when I leave, say, oh, that guy's crazy. But at least we're doing something. Amen. So I want to encourage you here. Don't be in fear. Don't be in bondage. I just want to encourage you today with this word. Now, I didn't finish this off. There's so much to say about this. But these are the last days, folks. And there'll be more activity, more demonic activity, but more supernatural. We're expecting God to move in our lives in a supernatural way. I'm believing God that we're going to see more miraculous things here at Faith City Church. And among all the people. And now, if God starts using you, don't start an evangelistic association. Thank God that He's used you to heal somebody. And, some people, they pray for somebody. All of a sudden, somebody got healed. Now they start handing out their cards. They're going to go on a worldwide tour because somebody got healed. No? Praise God. Let's all stand. Amen. Thank God for the last days is here. We're going to go the way God wants us to go, and that is going to be in a huge, fancy way, but with the power of God. Amen? Lord, we want to thank you today in the name of Jesus for the goodness of God, and I thank God for those people that are here today, that many people that are here today, that they're going to give, not because they're just born again, but they're going to come to you in a greater degree, greater measure, to give themselves over to you. People here in this room right now, they say, Lord, I know I'm born again. I know I could be doing more. I know I could give more. I know I could pray more. I know I could share more. There's people in this room that need to pull up their socks. I know I could live cleaner, a cleaner life. I know I need to stop lying. I need to stop cheating. I know I'm born again, but I'm doing those things. I need to live right. And God wants us to live a holy life. The Bible says in Hebrews, without living a holy life, you will not see God. And we need to be fearful of that. I say, God, listen, I'm going to live clean. Is God going to find you? If He came, is He going to find you in a bar room drinking beer, sleeping with somebody else? Where are you going to be when God comes? If you died, say, no, I want to be in the house of God. I want to be serving God. I want to be on a missionary journey. I want to be with the congregation. I want to be somewhere good where God has found me. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I'm going to pray. Father, these people here are saying, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. I'm praying with them. We're going to make an altar right there where they are. I'm giving you more. Yeah, I thought I was so good. Yeah, I thought I'm doing all right. But since this morning, I knew that you've convicted me. I could do more. So, Father, I'm going to lay down my life and say, Lord, you can have all of me. Even the places I don't want to have, I don't want to give over. I'm going to ask you to give it because I don't want to give it up. But I want to tell you to give. Here it is, Lord. I don't want to give it up. I'm being honest about it. But I want to do it. And you're going to help me to do it supernaturally. I'm going to give my life over to you. Totally. Unreservedly. Without any fear. Without any doubt. Without any reservations of anything. I'm giving you my life. 100%. I want to serve you. I want to be ready. I don't want to be afraid. I want to have the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit helping me live this life, a holy life, serve you. Thank you, Lord. That will be a testimony unto people that they say, look at that guy. Oh, he used to be this and that, but now he's serving Jesus. I want to be that person. I want to be the one that when you come back, you're going to find me doing your work. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise. Thank you. Everybody said amen.